It was Wednesday, November 9th, 2016, the day after a particularly contentious U.S. election, and Facebook was hoppin'. A lot of the people posting were surprised. Some were celebrating. Some were not.
It was just a really, really ugly world. And people on Facebook and every outlet they could possibly express themselves were like, doom and gloom, our country is over, I'm moving to Canada.
In the midst of all this negativity, Brittany Richmond wrote her own Facebook post.
And it got shared thousands and thousands of times. And it was all about, look, if you don't like how things turned out on election day, you have the chance to change the next one. You can go get involved. You can go volunteer. You can go campaign. And it just really resonated with people. And it made us realize people don't understand what it takes to make a difference in our country. If you don't like the way something goes, you actually have a say and you can actually make your voice heard and you can actually do things to change the course of things in our country or in your town or anywhere.
Welcome to the Why Magazine podcast, bringing you ideas, stories, and voices from Brigham Young University. I'm Whitney Archibald, and today we'll be talking civics and civility with two BYU graduates, Andrea Reeve and Brittany Richmond, twin sisters whom you may know as the American Moms. This episode is based on the article American Moms in the spring 2023 issue of Y Magazine by Rachel Hatch Webb. It all started after that fateful Facebook post. The sisters joined forces to create a blog and Instagram account to counteract the negativity. They post about current and historical events. They explain how to get involved with local and national politics, and they tell stories about other people who've gotten involved and made a difference. They even share recipes from presidents, first ladies, and all 50 states, including Mamie Eisenhower's fudge, Thomas Jefferson's ginger cakes, Wisconsin cranberry salsa, and the surprisingly delicious Michigan celery soup. My whole family devoured that one. The sisters developed their passion for civics and politics while they were both working in Washington, D.C., Brittany Richmond at the White House in the Office of Presidential Speechwriting, and Andrea Reeve in the press office of a U.S. senator. Now they spend most of their time raising their kids, they have seven between them, while also running this passion project on the side. Here's Andrea Reeve to talk about why they created American Moms.
We started the American Moms to try to get people to be more civic-minded and to also be more civil. This is not just something that we view as important. Our church leaders talk about it endlessly as well, the importance of going and actually getting involved and trying to make your community a better place to raise your family. And so that's what we do. That's how it got started.
Brittany adds,
when you hear the word civics, you think, oh my gosh, snooze, like so boring. But really all it is just helping people realize their obligations. Our founders set the country up with the intent that it would function properly if its citizens stepped up.
7 years after they started, the American Moms are still going strong with an audience about 44,000 strong. One of their biggest passions is teaching their own kids to be good citizens and teaching other parents to do the same. So naturally, I wondered if this passion had origins in their own home when they were growing up together. Here's Brittany.
We were never a family growing up that discussed politics, but we were really good as a family at watching the 5 o'clock and 10 o'clock news every single night. Like before dinner and then before bed, we would just like sit around the kitchen and watch the news. And if I'm being honest, it was probably because we just wanted to know what the weather was so that we would know what to wear to school the next day. But we developed this habit because of watching the news together and being aware of issues going on in the state and the country and even the world. Like I remember very clearly when Princess Diana died. I remember President Clinton's impeachment trial. I remember when President Nixon died and watching his funeral on TV and thinking, wow, this is fascinating. And, you know, the O.J. Simpson trials, like all of it. And so little by little, like one story at a time, kind of sparked something in me that made me realize there is a bigger picture. And then when I was a sophomore at BYU, some friends and I were like, hey, it's really cheap to go to Washington, D.C. right now. Let's just go. And so we just, you know, on a whim, went to D.C. one fall. And it was life-changing. It was eye-opening. Whatever cliche you want to use there, it like literally, it did change my life. It just felt magical. So when the opportunity came at BYU to do Washington seminar, like I jumped at it. Like I remembered, yes, Washington, D.C. was amazing. And being surrounded by all of those government buildings and the different things going on just felt so much bigger than what I was used to. And I just couldn't wait.
That's really cool. Can you tell me a little bit more about Washington Seminar? What did you do during that program?
Yeah, so Washington Seminar, in my humble opinion, is one of the greatest programs that BYU has ever established. It really changed everything for me. And I happened to see a sign one day, like in the Wilk, about it. And I stopped by their office and they told me more. And I'm like, yes, this is doable. It's not that much more than, you know, regular tuition would be. I can do it. So it's basically allows for like the semester abroad type of experience for students, but in like a domestic setting. So BYU students, and I think there are maybe 40 of us who lived in the Barlow Center, which is super close to Georgetown in Washington, D.C. And we attended classes together every Friday. We learned about politics and about government, and we'd go on, you know, super fun field trips to different government agencies. We went to the State Department one time, and Secretary Colin Powell was there, and we got to see him come by with the King of Jordan, which was really amazing. So we attended classes every Friday, and then the rest of the week, we all had internships. What I enjoyed about it was everything. I enjoyed every bit of it, the excitement of living in the nation's capital, and I just soaked it all in. I know, like every day, I would get off 2 metro stops early so that I could walk by the White House and just stare at it. Like, it was just so amazing to me. And it was right where I was supposed to be. And I love that. And I think for the first time, I started thinking about like, what career could I have that would really make a difference?
Okay. So let's hear your story, Andrea.
Okay. Well, I have to say, growing up, you know, there's always twins that like, they would do everything exactly the same growing up, and they had the same interests, and their parents had them in the same groups and everything. And I think our parents made a really concerted effort to make sure that we like did different things. And even our first year of college, they were like, you will not go to the same college. You're going to go to different colleges and you're going to learn different things and have different friends. So anyways, I went to Ricks my first 2 years of college, and then I transferred to BYU. And Brittany got into politics much earlier than me. But while she was living in DC, she would always call me and be like, you have to move here. It's so cool here. And I was a news reporter at the time. And I was like, I'm not doing the same thing that you're doing. I'm doing this. I was a reporter in Tallahassee, Florida, and I was covering local politics, which is like a whole different thing than national politics. But I remember I had a dream one night about living in Washington, D.C., and I woke up and it was like so real to me. And I just knew that I was supposed to live in D.C. So like when my contract ended at the news station, I packed up my little apartment in Tallahassee, Florida, and I moved to D.C. And after lots of job applying there, I saw an opening in Senator Bob Bennett's office, in his press office, for a deputy press secretary. And from then on, like what they say in DC is I caught Potomac fever, and you can't even escape politics if you wanted to after that, even though it's the way that it is right now. Like, I don't love everything about it. And I think that's why Brittany and I are doing what we're doing. That's kind of our story, how we got involved. I hope that both Brittany and I, like, we are good representatives of the entering to learn, go first to serve, just serving people and being an example to them. If nothing else, I hope that people like viewed us as good people.
Well, speaking of going forth to serve, that is exactly what you're doing with your American Moms account and website. I just love what you're doing. So with another election coming up, how can we prepare ourselves to be civil during what we know is going to be turbulent?
Yeah. Well, I think politics isn't everything, right? Like, your identity should never be established on your political party alone, like who you are. It should always be so much more than that. I think we're to the point in our society where it seems so easy to love humanity as a whole. And we're always fighting for humanity and we're fighting for different groups of people. But then it seems like really hard in the next breath to love your neighbor. And that is just such a big gap that needs to be closed up, that we have to work on one-on-one how we speak to each other and seeing each other as human beings in part of a bigger picture, and that it's not impossible to love someone who thinks differently than you. In fact, like, it's necessary. And like, whoever said that you could only love people just like you? Like, nobody's ever said that in the history of ever, certainly, you know, not our savior. And so I think just trying to go that extra mile to really show compassion to others, especially when they have a completely different story and background than you. There's just no way on this earth that any two human beings are going to have the exact same experience, and therefore they're not going to arrive at the exact same opinions, right? So I think just opening our hearts and our minds up a little bit more and to show compassion, you know, as the Savior did to our neighbors.
And how can you prepare yourself for the upcoming election? If there is an issue or a candidate that you're just completely passionate about, find a way right now to get involved in their campaign or in whatever capacity you think you can make a difference in, because there are so many ways to get involved with elections. Take just posting on social media and complaining, that does not equate to taking action. Taking action is actually doing something, volunteering, campaigning, any of those things. Be a poll worker, you know.
Great. So let's talk even more at a local level. I know you guys are big advocates for being involved in your local community.
So one thing that I like to do and that I tell people is such an easy way to get involved locally. We all have city council members for a reason. So contact them, and they are so much more accessible than like our congressman is. Contact them, call them. Sometimes I run into mine in the grocery store, you know, and we chat sometimes. Ask them what you can do. I think that's something people overlook sometimes is, oh, guess what? Our elected officials know best how we can help because they see the need every single day. So ask them how you can help, how you can get involved. And I guarantee you, if you tell them maybe where your expertise is or what you're passionate about, they will find a way for you to help. There are boards, there are committees that you can sit on. There are a million different volunteer opportunities. You can join your PTA. You can join a political party and help locally there. You can even run for office yourself if you feel so inclined. And that is one of the best ways that you can get involved. But I know most people are like, no, I would never do that. So start in a way that feels doable, like serving on a board or volunteering. But don't stay there. Don't stay just where it's comfortable. Expand yourself.
Excellent. Do you have any examples to share of things that your own family have done to get involved at either level, local or national?
Yeah. So we live in Texas now, but before that, we lived in Washington. We just moved here a little bit over 2 years ago. And one of our dear friends was running to be on the school board. And it was a big uphill battle, and people in our community that didn't really love change. And so we would push the stroller up and down our neighborhoods, and we would hand out flyers and campaign for her. And on election day, we went out and held up signs for her to encourage people to go and vote. But it's so good to get your kids involved. Our friend won, and we were so excited. But had she not have won, I still think it's important to show your kids the value of doing something like that, of caring enough about an issue or a candidate to go and actually get involved to make a difference. But Brittany has some examples also.
Yeah, so I live in Rapid City, South Dakota, and all the schools need to be rebuilt. They're kicking the can down the road for years and years. So now we're at this point where there's a school in our district that in half their building, they don't have heat. And if you've ever been to South Dakota in the wintertime, like, it gets really cold here. And so for kids to be going to school in a building without heat, like, it was just not okay. And so I contacted my school board member and said, what can we as parents do to help the situation? Like, how are we going to make it better? And he said, email the whole school board and encourage them to get another bond on the ballot. So that's what I did. I spent like all day drafting this email to the entire board. And then I texted two different groups of friends, like, here's what's happening in our community. Here's what you need to do about it. And then they spread it to people who I don't know. And then it just spreads. And so now we're working to get another bond on the ballot because we just took that first step of asking what we can do and then making other people aware of it. And I think so many people get stuck there. They think, well, I can't do something big right now. I don't have a lot of time. So then they do nothing. But really, like, these big things just start with something small. I've just been blessed with so many great friends in this community. We go out and serve at least probably once a month. We all just volunteer together. We go help in the food bank. We go help in the shelters that we have here. We went last month to a nursing home and handed out flowers to some of the different residents there for Valentine's Day. Like, there's so many things you can do, and doing it with people, with friends, just makes it feel more doable and a whole lot more fun.
Oh, I love that you do that. So what about some historical examples?
So every Wednesday on our blog, we used to highlight a lesser known woman in history and something that they did to make a difference. Some of my favorites were Jeanette Rankin. She was from Montana, and she was the first woman elected to Congress. And I always love to hear how these women got their start, because it just shows, again, like, you can just start somewhere small in your own community because you see a need. So she got super involved in the women's suffrage movement, try and get women the right to vote. And she began as just a student volunteer at her local office. And years later, she made it to Congress. So I feel like that's just such a good example of how things can start locally and then snowball. And another woman from history was Shirley Chisholm, and she was one of the first African Americans elected to Congress. And I loved her attitude, because someone said, like, why did you decide to do this? Like, what made you brave enough to even try? And she said, I ran because someone had to do it first. And I just love that attitude. I think we can all kind of adopt that. Like, well, someone has to do it. Why not us? So those are a couple of my favorite. I don't know if Andrea has.
So Brittany's really into writing children's books. And one of them that she wrote was Eliza Sinmore. So she was the one who brought cherry blossoms to America. And she had seen them abroad in Japan and went and like lobbied to the White House, not just once, but repeatedly, because they wouldn't listen to her. But I think it just goes to show, like, sometimes on our first try, things don't always work. But she tried for years. Like, now our whole nation's capital is lined with these beautiful cherry blossoms because one person like felt like their beauty was important to America. So, I mean, it doesn't have to be like something so huge. Like, it's just like whatever issues are important to us. And that was important to her. And now like our whole country benefits from this beauty. I mean, our country's history is filled with examples of not just women, obviously, but like of people who just had one idea in their head or felt strongly about one belief or one opinion or one idea about something.
That's really a great reminder that we can all contribute in some way, whatever our passions are. That's great. So why is it important to learn about the history of our country, and how does that impact the way we show up?
Again, I love David McCullough, and he always talks about how this generation that we're raising is like by and large historically illiterate. Like, they don't know what came before. And he said it's almost like this slow disease creeping up on them that our country is forgetting and trying to lose so much of what we took so long to gain. And I think so many misunderstandings and tensions would be eased. And even the way we see like the present day, how yes, it's contentious, but it doesn't have to be all doom and gloom, because our country has been here before. In fact, so many times. I mean, we've been through a pandemic before, for goodness sakes, like many of them, and we got through it. I think even just knowing our country has literally been at war with each other before. We've had a civil war over our issues, and we're not there now. And hopefully we are now smart enough to avoid something like that, right? But there's so many things, like if people knew what we'd been through before, I think they would maybe take a deeper breath and be calmer about every situation that we've been in. And I think the ways that we maybe go about solving different issues change with time, and our perspective can change with time. But that's what history gives us. Like, history is humanity. And it sounds so cheesy, but like people from the past being like, look, we provided answers for you. We set it up for you for a reason. And here's this foundation that we created. If Andrew has anything she wants to add.
No, I just think history has a negative connotation. Like, people get bored by history, but it's so important to know where we've come from and to see how far we've come.
Well, yeah, and we tend to get so pessimistic about the state of, for example, our media and the bias. And then you look at, say, the Federalist Papers or, you know, all the pamphlets that were flying around. Those were mostly even anonymous, just like a lot of posters and people on social media. It was pretty contentious when you read some of those things. Sometimes we think we're in this unique situation and we forget that humans are humans and we've been learning these same lessons over and over again.
Yeah, like exactly. People had duels over those things, right? Like, thank goodness we're not having those kinds of duels.
But good point.
Yeah, Andrew and I were actually just talking, because it's interesting how people bash on the media so much. And yes, like, sometimes it is bad. Like, sometimes when you hear about reporters, you know, purposely falsifying things, yes, like, it's disgusting and it's angering. But like, that is one of the rights in the Constitution, is that we have a press and we need that information in some way. So if we don't have that, like, what do we have?
Absolutely. That's excellent. What suggestions do you have for us to help our children not to be part of David McCullough's statistics and to help them be educated and involved?
Well, so my kids are a little bit older than Andrea's, and my teenager loves history. So we are always talking about like World War II. He's currently obsessed with that era. And when we go on trips, we always try and see something like historical or like tie it in. And we're just always, I'm just a history nerd. So it like comes naturally, like discussions just come naturally for me. But books, I'm obsessed with children's books. So we have a lot of books and we read them. And again, we talk about them, like how that person made a difference and how it changed things. So we're just always talking about it. And even driving down the road to school, you know, I talk about like what's going on with the other school. Like, you're so lucky that you have this school to go to, because the school a mile down the road, they don't have heat. So I'm always trying to talk in not just history, but political awareness and political involvement. Just make it part of everyday conversation. We all know more than we think we do. And there's even things that like I have to remind myself of, like, oh, yes, what year did that happen? And how did that happen again? And a quick Google and involve your kids in that. Like, if they ask you a question, be honest, like, oh, I don't know. Let's go look it up together. You know, there's so many different things you can do. And if taking a trip somewhere isn't in the cards for you right now, there's virtual museums online. And I think almost all the Smithsonian's are online. The National Archives are online. You can take a tour of like Mount Vernon online. I mean, and almost everything is virtual nowadays. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Not to mention local history and local tours you could do.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Like make it just take an hour and go see a historical site. It doesn't have to be some big, you know, road trip. And just an hour or two here and there makes a big difference.
Great.
And even just things like on election day, taking your kids with you to go vote and letting them see democracy in action. And if you do vote by mails, then to show them what a ballot looks like and how you research the questions that are on the ballot. It's just those simple things to show who's running and why they're running and what these issues are that are on the ballot and why this is an issue and why people are caring about this and how we're going to vote on it, or, you know, things like that.
Well, then it's extra fun when they can then see the results and they have a little skin in the game if they know what was happening.
Yes. And watching the election results come down together. That's another fun thing to do with kids too.
Great. Well, these have all been really helpful tips. And I think the listeners will be interested, especially when we know what's coming.
It's coming.
Yep. Yep.
Every 4 years it's coming.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
So. Yes. Oh, I do have one more thing I can add about the election. Be careful how you talk in your homes about people you don't agree with. You don't have to agree on a single thing, but you don't have to speak poorly of others, especially in the presence of your children who soak up all of those things and take those views and go out into the world and repeat them to classmates. And one of our readers emailed us once and said, please remind parents how they speak to their children. She said, when I was growing up, so Jimmy Carter got elected to the White House and my parents told us all that the world was ending. And my little brother couldn't sleep for a month because he thought literally the world was ending because Jimmy Carter got elected to be president. And like, clearly that didn't happen. Clearly the 4 years went by and everything was just fine, you know? So get rid of the doom and gloom lingo around your kids and speak positively about our country's future, because there really is so much going on that we can be thankful for. So that's just, you know, a little reminder there.
By now, we all have lots of ideas for ourselves and our families about how to both be more civil about our approach to politics and how to be more civically engaged. Let's end with a final pep talk from Andrea and Brittany to help us take action and get more involved, starting with a quote from historian and writer David McCullough.
One might say that history is not about the past. If you think about it, no one ever lived in the past. Washington, Jefferson, John Adams, and their contemporaries didn't walk about saying, isn't this fascinating living in the past? Aren't we picturesque in our funny clothes? No, they lived in the present. The difference is it was their present, not ours. They were caught up in the living moment exactly as we are, and with no more certainty of how things would turn out than we have.
Oh, I love that.
I just love thinking about that, because so much of what we do someday will be history, right? Like every moment is history. Every moment is the chance to make a difference. And we, like our founding fathers, don't always know how it's going to turn out. Like Eliza Sidmore, she campaigned for almost 25 years before someone said yes. And she just kept going and wouldn't give up because it was something she believed in. And I think in this age that we live in now, where everything is so instantaneous, we forget that sometimes things take time. Not everything happens the second we want it to. And things take time. And sometimes it's just a little piece of the puzzle to like to get things moving, a little ball rolling here and there can move mountains. We're living in the moment just as they were, not knowing how things will turn out and having faith that it might someday.
Thank you for listening to the Why Magazine podcast. If you enjoyed it, please share it with your friends and family and leave us a rating and review so more people can find it. This episode was produced by me, Whitney Archibald. Thanks to Rachel Hatch-Webb for writing and researching the original article, American Moms, in the spring 2023 issue of Why Magazine. And special thanks to executive producer Denya Palmer and Jarrett Davis for original music and mixing.